Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bringing you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And now introducing a special guest for 5 on It. You know him well from topics such as Is This a Thirst Trap? It is Russ Dorsey.
Hey, it's been a while, guys.
It has. Good to see you. National Major League Baseball insider for Yahoo Sports, the insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Man got a lot of jobs.
He
does.
Gotta
keep a couple jobs in this economy.
He's standing up. Facts. He's hype. He's half dancing. He's ready. Let's do it.
Number one.
Layla Marshall Russell. What was the worst aspect of the Cubs 9-7 meltdown against the Mets?
It's the fact that the Edwin Diaz intro song has been stuck in my head for the last 18 hours. I can't get it to leave. And every time I picture it, I see that 2-out save he had where he comes in after they were down 6-1. They get the job done and then he's like, cool, I'm shutting the door on this. And then I think about how the 2023 Mets, all they had to their names were that the closer had a cool intro. Now they're trying to get into the playoffs, and they're using the Cubs to try to do it, and the home field advantage might slip away. And all I can think about is Edwin Diaz.
And they're back in the driver's seat because the Reds lost. They won, and now they are going to be very, as Layla says, hungry.
Hungry.
To try to get these wins to make sure that they are not left out of the playoffs after spending $1 billion in free agency.
Pretty much.
That wasn't the worst part. The worst part was Cade Horton leaving after the third inning and not knowing what was going on for two innings of just not knowing what was going on with Cade Horton. I was like, bruh. And then when you found out, you felt better. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're like, I guess this is best case scenario because we didn't know what was going on. So that was the worst part, though. That moment, that time period, which stretched out over the course of the game.
The worst part of that loss, and I was there last night at the yard, was the bullpen. Because obviously, losing Cade Horton, you don't want that. However, you were gonna taper off his innings anyway, because that's a guy that's potentially gonna start a game one for you in the wild card round. But with the bullpen having to cover 18 outs, I understand that's a lot. But I think the Cubs go into this postseason, and how many relievers do you trust right now if you're Craig Counsell? 3, maybe 4?
Well, one of them,
it's 4.
One of them wasn't in last night, Brad Keller.
So that's 1.
I still trust Drew Pomeranz.
That's 2.
If Palencia is healthy,
no, so you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that.
Palencia's getting activated today.
Then that's 3.
And then
Gilbar typically.
He got
messed up. Yeah.
I just think
the rest messed him up on that call.
I'll do a spade style 4 to push, because actually Gilbar is my push.
4 and Kittredge, impossible.
Kittredge is my 4th.
Okay.
That's 4 and a push.
4
the
and impossible.
Soroka situation.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have 4 that you think you can count on a nightly basis. But to get where they want to go, you're going to need more than 4. So somebody's going to have to step up.
Colin Ray.
Number 2.
I have to be.
Will Nico Horner win the National League batting title?
What I like about this is that he is chasing a target that is not moving. So it's very simple. Like, do well enough over these last 5 games and you will win a batting title. And Nico Horner has been on a tear. He told us yesterday it's more about his process has been working. He's hitting balls hard because there's a certain amount of randomness when you talk about even if you have good at bats, it doesn't necessarily end with a hit. But his has been ending in a hit more times than not compared to a lot of other players, not only in this Cubs lineup, but really when you look around the league. I think Nico Hoerner gets to the batting title after another 3-for-5 day last night.
He's batting currently .302. That is 3 points behind Trey Turner with only 140 games to his name at .305. So qualified. Alex Burleson is of the Cardinals, who come to town this weekend, is batting .294. I like his chances, but the Trey Turner math might math in his favor.
I like Nico's chances because he seems pretty locked in at this point in the year. Also, the fact that Trey Turner isn't playing the rest of the way is very, very helpful.
Hence my reference to the math, yeah.
Yeah, I think if he gets to Saturday, all he has to do is get to Saturday and the Cubs are locked in wherever they're locked in.
How many left-handers do they see over the next five games?
That might be the answer.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because if there are some left-handers on the mound, Nico's getting at least two hits. Because he crushes
yesterday.
Left-handed hitting pitchers.
Destroys.
Crushes.
Just straight line drive.
Yes.
Just pop, pop, pop.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and our friend, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports, Russell Dorsey.
Meet. Whoa. It's been a while, so I get it.
Oh, well, yeah, Russell Dorsey's in the house with us for this special edition of 5 on it. Here's question three. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most optimistic, where's your level of optimism regarding the idea of Kyle Tucker returning to the Cubs lineup for the playoffs?
Russ, I think you should go first.
So hurt Kyle Tucker yesterday at the yard. Only he knows. I think if the playoffs started yesterday, he probably would be in the lineup.
Did you see him run?
No, I didn't see any video.
Okay.
But here's my thing. If he DHs, which is likely what he's going to do when he's back, he said he's swinging fine and he can throw. It's just you have to check all the boxes with the running. I don't need Kyle Tucker if I'm the Cubs running at 100%.
I need you to watch the
video. Oh, no. This is a slippery slope. Next thing you know, Eloy Jimenez is injured. Nobody's running to first base. Tony La Russa is managing the team. No, I'm not doing this.
No.
Where did you just go with this?
2021.
I don't like comparing an all-star and Kyle Tucker with Eloy. I think that's unfair to Kyle Tucker.
I think you're not respecting the Sox.
A much better baseball player.
Your dad was at the Sox game. Respect
right.
Your dad.
No, he would agree with me that Kyle Tucker's a much better player.
I'm just saying it's a slippery slope.
I don't think it is. I think if you know that you need Kyle Tucker's bat in the lineup in the playoffs and you can DH him and he doesn't have to run around the outfield and you can get by with Seiya Suzuki or whoever you put out in right field, I think that's what you got to do because it's about, hey, we're going to be out if we don't win two games.
Seiya Suzuki had a good game in right field last night. Nice catch. Like he felt a little more comfortable out there, seemed like anyway. You could see him play well, and that's important. At night, I think, helps too. You see the ball a little bit better at night.
Yeah.
Day game is a little more challenging, you know, as we know.
It's better to have Tuck's bat in the lineup than not in the lineup.
See, that's it. That's where we stand. Yeah. But, you know, not everything's going to be a home run. Even if you want it to be extra bases, you're still going to have to run.
I just don't think you're at the point in the season where either you want the batting lineup or you don't. And it's just like, hey, ball in the gap. Do you think you can make it? If you can't, hey, let's just hit the brakes.
That 3-U or 4-3 put out when things are not going well for him can quickly become 4-6-3 with runners on base because he'll be moving at catcher or slower speed coming down the line.
Hard hit balls turn into double plays too. So.
Yeah, but lest I remind you about the month of July where we unfortunately saw that because of a lack of power in his bat because of an injury.
Guys, we're at the point in the year, either he's going to be in the lineup or he's not. I'm thinking he's going to be in there.
I like your optimism. I wish I shared it, but that
I don't think you have a choice but to be optimistic is my thing.
No, I
can always
be pragmatic.
It's not an ideal situation, you know what I mean? You don't want a guy to have a calf injury going into playoffs, but if he says he can swing the bat fine, you let him swing the bat.
Yeah, like you pretty much have no choice right. In the matter. Right. Especially like Owen Casey's on the concussion.
Do y'all got the heat on in here?
It was really cold in here, so it switched to heat for a minute.
Oh, you might have
minute.
To take those sleeves off.
No.
This is happening live on the air right now.
Why is he doing it in slow motion? Why is he doing
Russ
it in slow motion?
Russ is taking off his hoodie in slow motion.
Why do you not have sleeves underneath your hoodie? Okay. All right, keep going.
It's a 90s R&B video.
It really was 90s R&B video.
I was going to say cue up the genuine.
I was going to take a picture of this.
No, it is legitimately hot in here.
No! Dude,
Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The score is where you want to be right now.
Don't let your girlfriend, your wife...
We're on YouTube.
Your daughter, depending on your age. Don't let any of them watch this.
670 The Score on YouTube.
It is 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. No,
it's
Wednesday.
It's also hot.
Wednesday.
Like, I don't want us to lose the plot of it is actually really warm.
It's my fault because here's the timing. Mully and Haw, because I think if you do a morning show, your brain doesn't work right half the time because you're having to stay
so
up late to watch games. They keep it cold to stay awake and alert.
Should.
And it makes sense. It makes sense. But then I forget to turn it up, and it takes a while to ramp up. So then I was too late to the trigger of the thermostat today. And so now it's
It was colder in here earlier.
It just takes a while to make it warmer in the studio.
But why not just turn it up a little bit, knock the chill off, and then turn it off?
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It's not. It's hard to explain. There are ways of the thermostat. Right. And I'm sorry. God, it's noon on a Wednesday, and we're... Old
Jump
Crow,
on it.
Old
Let's
Crow
do
is
it.
Gonna be ridiculous tomorrow.
Riding,
no one's riding your pony. Just
yo, come on,
Layla. She wanted a pony earlier. That's
whoa.
Not the
not
one
that
you
kind.
Wanted.
Whoa, not whoa. That. No, all right, all no. Right. It's a sarcastic term, like for children's wishes.
Let's get to the next
I
one.
I know.
Number four.
Back to the serious business.
Where HR
here.
Gets in there. Jeez.
Too late for that.
That's a direct quote.
Here's a question: does Russ think the Bears will beat the Raiders?
Yes, he does. I do think they'll beat the Raiders.
Why?
The Las Vegas Raiders have looked pretty inept, especially when it comes to their run game. And I think for me, when you make yourself one-dimensional, it's a lot easier to game plan for you. While I don't think Ashton Jeanty is the running back we've seen the first 3 weeks of the season, I think with the way the Bears... pass defense was on Sunday, which I was very surprised by. They played well. And I just have a feeling that if Geno Smith is going to throw the ball 40 times, I would like to believe that the Bears win a game where Geno throws it 40 times.
You got faith in Dennis Allen.
I have faith in what I've seen from both in recent weeks. Like, I don't like the way the Raiders have been playing, especially offensively. Like, you got the Commanders to put up a 40 ball on you when Jaden Daniels wasn't playing.
This turn to Russ, the Bears fan,
no,
being positive.
No, it's not
no,
a
it's,
fan.
I think
it's like
just
Russ
breaking
just
down the numbers.
Watching what's going on.
Okay.
It's not fandom. It's making an astute observation about what I've seen.
Well, and to further your point, the win against the Patriots was by 20-13, so they scored a hot 20 in that game. 9 against the Chargers. And then 24, you know, in the loss to Washington where they put up a 40 burger. So
Marcus Mariota put up a 40 ball on your head top. Now, I know one of those touchdowns was a punt return touchdown,
yeah.
I believe. But that's still 33 points.
Yeah, that's
by
a lot.
Marcus Mariota.
How many Bears are going to score on Sunday? Minimum of what?
I think the Bears score 24 points on Sunday.
That's enough to get it done?
I think that's enough to get it done.
Oh, okay.
I do think that
24-17 Bears.
Yeah. All right, let's write it down. 24-17 Bears.
Robbie, you already know. Write that down.
Robbie, how are you feeling about your Tigers?
We definitely want to talk. We'll do that in the next segment for sure.
We'll get there.
Number five.
Russ. Last question here on Five on It. Willay Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Russ. Last question. Sister Jean officially retired from Loyola Chicago at 106 years old. I'm not working at that age. What's the youngest age where you consider someone old?
Can I go first, please? Number one, when I saw the graphic of Sister Jean without like reading what had happened, I got so sad.
Because you thought...
Because it's all I saw with these big old graphics. And then it's like, oh, she's not going to be the team's chaplain anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. To answer Robbie's question, I think it's layered because we work in a profession where 30, you take you out back, you're done. But in the grand scheme of life...
Not Old Yeller.
That's what they do in sports when you hit 30. But in the grand scheme of life,
and women in broadcasting,
there's so much life. Like, there's so much time in life. Like 30, 40, even 50. Like, it's
not even 50.
Even 50. Like, the with modern medicine, and you work out and you eat right, you like you can live a long time.
You
on
can
this
live
earth.
To 50.
No, I'm just saying, like, life ahead of you at 50.
I got you.
No, well, stop it's making just, jokes. Like, I'm telling people at 50 though. You're done.
It's the way you said it.
I think you are officially, quote unquote, old, where people can call you that and you like you really can't fight it at probably 50.
All right. So my answer isn't really based on a number. It's based on this. If you got grandkids, you're old. If you got grandkids, you're okay. old.
My grandmother was a grandmother at like 45.
Guess what? That's the youngest age where you can call somebody old when they got the grandkids.
What if you don't? What if you don't have kids? That are you perpetually young?
No. But the kids will age you. Kids will age you. And so I will say this also. One of my best friends back home in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, shout out. This man had his first grandchild when we were 43 years old. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And it was crazy because I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, someone's calling you grandpa.
Yeah.
So that someone was me, by the way. Every time I saw him, I'd be like, what up, grandson? How you doing? I think yeah, whenever you have that grandkid, that's when you're old. You have a grandchild.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that, but I agree. I will say this. Perhaps it is when Anthony Heron got the OG when he opened a door and this other person opened it for him, and he was like, appreciate that, OG. By the way, I mentioned Ant because it's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Ant.
Happy birthday to Anthony Heron. Yeah.
Happy born day,
Ant.
Sir.
Yes, he's usually here with us on Mondays on Raheem Harris and Brody. I think it, theoretically, kind of like being able to swim in the Chicago River for the first time in 100 years.
Which you shouldn't do.
Modern technology, agreed. Modern technology has helped us. And for that reason, age expectancy is a little bit farther along than in previous generations, although not as far along as it was pre-COVID. So I think it has to be at least in your 50s, right? I would say it's probably around the age where you start thinking about retirement. So I'm going to say like 55.
Have you ever seen when they put the Cheers cast season one picture up and they've got everyone's age on there in season one? And I'm like, no way. They were all in their 30s, except for Sam, the bartender. Like, Sam, I'm sorry, he was 35. They're in their 30s. Back in the 80s, people who were 40 years old looked like what 65 right, and 70 right. year olds
well,
look like
air
today.
Air pollution in the 70s was really bad, if you recall.
People smoked indoors.
And that's it. Everybody smoked.
The way you said it, people smoked indoors. You couldn't even escape it.
No.
They used to put you in a non-smoking
section of a restaurant.
But the smoke was wafting
that
right
was
over.
When I was a kid, we still had smoke in a non-section in Illinois. And then we were one of the first states where it's like, no, all non-smoking.
Yeah, I remember like people would talk about how they would come home from a bar in college and they would smell like smoke. And I'm like,
I'm glad
yeah,
we don't live in that age anymore.
Agreed. But I do think that it aged people quite a bit. And back then they didn't have the stuff that people do now to look young. You know, the facial treatments and all that stuff.
You mean the fillers?
Yeah, or the Botox, whatever people want to get.
Botox is a filler, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
age
no,
is a mindset.
People view them technically as different. They're just both injectables, is how I've been told. I am lazy and cheap and haven't done it yet.
Drink water, stay
out
of grown folks' business. You'll stay young.
That mind your business thing is real.
The Russ smirk, too. Unbelievable. Russ is here with us for a whole hour. We do want to get to, I think, Russ, what was really a pivotal day yesterday in Major League Baseball for a few different reasons. And it's also worth looking back at some of the trade deadline deals that did happen and the ones that didn't. So let's do that next, and we'll get some Bears talking with Russ as well, because this is Wednesday. We do it all next on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score. Oh, no. Oh, no!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Russell Dorsey, National MLB Insider for Yahoo Sports.
Here's my thing with the Cubs. Going into the postseason, you look at what teams are vibing, what teams are playing well, and I look at that offense. For so much of the season, that was the thing that drove them. That was their strength. It's great that they're in the postseason. Now I'm concerned about how they're going to be able to score runs once they get there.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+.
At 25, I became a beat reporter. And 27, I'm on TV every day, but also an MLB insider. It happened really fast, but you'd rather take it a year too early as opposed to saying, I'm not ready yet. I'll let that opportunity pass. And you never know when it comes back around.
Russell Dorsey.
What's up, Russ?
On 670 The Score.
The Score.
Russ Dorsey joins us live in studio, and see, the temperature is different now. The heat turned off. It was a temporary thing. You can keep your hoodie on.
Please.
I don't know.
Please do. Please
That's
do.
That's hate.
On Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Now it's to the point where if you play the first note, he's touching the zipper of his hoodie.
Stay ready.
Never gotta get ready. You guys practicing this?
No, let's not practice that. Let's
just play it during the segment at some point. We'll see if it happens. This segment, by the way, Talking Baseball with Russ, is brought to you by the 2026 President's Cup. Russ is the insider for baseball for Yahoo. He works on the broadcasts for Apple TV+. He's an excellent person to talk to about, the playoffs next week.
Yeah, kind of important. Before we get to the playoffs, you guys talked about people jumping in the river. Did you guys talk about Bubbly Creek?
No.
What's that?
Oh, man, Robbie, it's another Russ history lesson. All right, so the reason that people for so long didn't jump in the river or swim in it, so from 1860 to like the 1940s, you had the stockyards, right? And they would dump all the, waste, right, and stuff into the river. And the river would bubble up.
I learned this on the architecture tour.
And so it's the reason that, like, the idea of people swimming, even 100 years later, is wild to me. With all the bacteria and pathogens, XYZ. So, when you hear somebody, maybe a long-time Chicagoan, talk about Bubbly Creek, when you're walking past the river, that's why.
That's why they're calling it Bubbly Creek. Okay, yeah, that makes sense, actually. I did learn that on the boat tour.
Now I know.
My boat tour guide tried to tell me, though, that buildings were built on the remnants of a lot of the fire and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, physically, that's not possible. Like, you can't build buildings like these without getting into actually sound.
Don't let facts get in the
foundation.
Way of a good story, Layla.
Yeah, Layla. Mrs. O'Leary's cow says...
Oh, yeah, and we don't even know necessarily if it was a cow. That's the other part.
No, that was completely made up.
Yeah, but
Layla,
I'm like...
letting facts get in the way of a good story.
In this case, mooing. Absolutely.
right.
But yes, I like the history lesson and the discussion.
All right, playoffs.
Getting back to the playoffs, and I did watch the dumpster fire that was the Tigers and Guardians
Let's
game
point
last
laugh
night.
At Robbie.
Here are the foundational problems. Here are the foundational problems with what we saw last night. Your stopper didn't stop in Scooble. Like, the guy who we thought was the insurance policy of all insurance policies of starting pitchers in the American League didn't do the thing that we trusted him to do. Cleveland, a practical miracle in modern baseball, comes back from being down, 15 and a half games. They make up that deficit and then owned the tiebreaker at the end of the night. That place was absolutely electric at Progressive Field in Cleveland.
Imagine what it's going to be like tonight.
And in thinking of all of this, you know what I thought to myself? The trade deadline decisions that were made. When 41-year-old Charlie Morton is your big addition, that tells you how tight the market was, if we all have discussed as a show. But also, fortune favored the bold and the teams that did actually make acquisitions, even if some of them didn't turn out as well as they would have liked.
And that's where I'm always leaning towards. I'm a big proponent in fortune favors the bold, especially in baseball. No, you never know what's going to happen because baseball is baseball. But at the same time, if I had to guess what a 41-year-old's going to do, it's probably do what Charlie Morton ended up doing, which was get DFA'd.
At 36, Charlie Morton wanted to retire.
Like the idea that everybody's going to be Justin Verlander, everybody is going to be your Clayton Kershaws, where you can get near your upper 30s and early 40s and just shove, like that's not real. Like the idea that can is sustainable is unrealistic. And so for the Tigers, their big question going into the deadline was, who's going to pitch a game two for you behind Tarik Skubal? And because you didn't address that, you might not even make it into the postseason. Like, there's a real possibility that the Tigers, after being the best team in the American League for almost 5 months,
ain't gonna be game two,
are not going to be in the playoffs.
They're not.
And it's their own fault. Like, I hear what you're saying about Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal's been the best pitcher in the world for 2 years. Like, you can't put it all on that guy. But yes, you are expecting, all right, we needed to get a game, and we got our guy on the mound. And then the Guardians do what the Guardians do. Death by a thousand cuts, bunt single, another bunt. Skubal tries to be Mark Burley, flip it between his legs, ball goes over the first baseman's head. Like, everything that can go wrong did go wrong for the Tigers. And when things are going your way, like it is for the Guardians right now, you have innings like that where ball doesn't leave the infield and we score 3 runs.
And that's who they are. That's who they are as a team fundamentally. I got 2 words for everybody. Jose Ramirez.
Really good player.
As long as that man exists, respect the team.
It's crazy how things have started to line up. The National League has just been fascinating to me because the Arizona Diamondbacks were left for dead, right?
Cooked, if you will.
They were out here sitting in the back alley like some old pizza thrown out in the dumpster.
They were throwing the pizza out.
they were the ones
throwing themselves
into the dumpster.
They threw a 3/4 pizza out into the dumpster.
They lost their free agent acquisition to Tommy John surgery and Corbin Burns. They lost Lourdes Gurriel to a torn ACL. They traded Josh Naylor at the deadline, traded Eugenio Suarez at the deadline. And here they are with a possibility of getting into the postseason. Now, everything has to go their way over the next 5 days. But the fact that you've given yourself an opportunity, even with all those things that we talked about, it's amazing.
Yes. And also, I have money on them making the playoffs from a month ago.
And their position, I think, in their division specifically, can be used as whatever storyline people want to tell. Like, for example, well, the Diamondbacks were the wild card in the playoffs, and they made it to the World Series. Yeah, because they were arguably in the best division in baseball. They were the wild card, but they had a better record than the Cubs in 2023. You know, that's the example illustrated there. And in this case, I think it's the same thing. You're probably not as bad as it feels being the third-place team in the NL West.
Yeah, like, the way it could shake out. Let's say the D-backs don't make the playoffs. Depending on what happens here with the Cubs and Padres over the next 5 days, like, we expect that the Cubs are going to host, but it's only a game and a half difference with 5 games to go. So it could go either way. Like, the Cubs could have to fly to San Diego next week. So it's fun. That's what this time of year should be, where you're watching games every night. People are scoreboard watching, your standings watching, and then you have, you know, Tigers fans up in arms like Robbie, crying themselves to sleep because their team blew a 15.5 game lead.
But timing up success and the Tigers' record peaking when it did relative to the rest of the league mirrors the timing of the Cubs' record peaking relative to the rest of the league at the same time. When we look at the numbers since June, it's been roughly .500 baseball.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that the Cubs have in their favor, they have 5 games left. The Padres only have 4 games left because the Padres have a day off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have that game in hand. win that game tomorrow, and then you really control your own destiny in terms of the wild card.
Can I introduce you to an alternate ending for that?
I love the Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Well, here we go.
Turn to page
38.
All right.
Two games left with those Diamondbacks that we just talked about, and a three-game set in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Padres, equidistant to the Cubs and the Dodgers. Padres win the West. Can you see it?
Sure. My hesitance is that the Mariners have gotten really hot all of a sudden. They can't lose. If you're the Dodgers, you should be wary.
And they got still two games with Arizona, who finds themselves looking right at it.
That's why I always push back against the schedule people of, oh, they have the easiest schedule. Then it does not matter. You have the Mariners who look like, oh, will they even make the playoffs about a month ago? And now they're going to lock up the 2 seed in the American League. They got over the hump and finally beat the Astros. And mentally, I think for them, beating the Astros to win the division and do that for the first time since 2001.
Yeah.
I think mentally they're like, oh, man, we did that. Like, we've been waiting so long to do that. And I think that's going to propel them the rest of the way.
Are you kidding? They've had two rebuilds now to get to this point since then.
They haven't won a division title since 2001.
That's a long time.
Long time.
Even when you consider like the last 5-6 years for the Mariners, you know, they've had two runs at this since then. And they finally were able to do so on the second time around. And as we say at the trade deadline, when you think you have enough, get more. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
The Mariners were all in as we talk about the current state of baseball last week of the season with Russ Dorsey, who joins us in studio for the full noon hour.
For the first time in like 2 months.
Yes, welcome back.
Y'all don't rock with me.
It's Raheemy, Harrison, Grody. Mark Grody joins us at 125
from House Hall. We've been
here. I don't know. Ray, I don't think Ray rocks with me anymore.
No.
I don't think Robbie rocks with me anymore.
Don't do that. Wow. You know I rock with
you. You're lashing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you vote on the awards?
Yes.
American League MVP.
That's not what I'm voting for, though.
Ah, oh, that's right. You said you wouldn't know until later. Correct. Now you
know. Okay, so if you could.
My feelings haven't changed on it. I'm trying to decide how I verbalize it because I think a lot of people have a lot of opinions who have never voted before. But I'll say this. I think Cal Raleigh is having a phenomenal year.
That means you're definitely going to judge.
I think, one, consistency matters. And I think it is a full season award. And I think when you look at the full season and the full body of work, Aaron Judge missed almost 3 weeks and still has better numbers outside of home runs than Cal Raleigh. And I think that has to count for something. I understand the argument about we've never seen a switch hitter hit this many home runs. We've never seen a catcher hit this many home runs. But it's not the home run award, right? Like, it's the most valuable player. Now, if you're saying Cal Raleigh is more valuable to the Mariners than Aaron Judge is to the Yankees, okay. I would disagree.
That's a tough argument to make.
I would disagree, but that's probably your best case besides, because I don't think the home runs is a good argument. Like, he has almost 60 home runs as a catcher. Cool. That's a great season. But I think how every individual voter determines value is what's going to matter. I think Judge ends up winning, but I think it's going to be the closest vote we've seen for MVP in a while.
If Raleigh breaks the American League home run record, I think this conversation changes. Not your opinion, but
no.
I think the
overall
voting.
Does he have enough time to do that?
He has, 57?
Yeah.
So he'd have to hit 5 homers in the next 5 days, which when he came to Chicago, he definitely did that. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
But Seattle and that place being as hard as it is to hit anything out of the park, it's not like here. And that weekend, that series here was
You know what's
hot.
Fascinating to me, guys? That we've had so many people be the batting average defenders of, oh, these dudes can't hit, and you're going to pound on the table for a dude hitting 240. Now, this is not me knocking Cal. He's hitting 240 with 60 pumps. And a guy who's hitting almost 330 with 50 doesn't get the love. After everything people have talked about batting average over the last couple of years, we've changed the rules.
No, you're right.
So that guys can have higher batting averages. Right. And a dude that's hitting, he hit 400 for 3 months. And over the course of the full season, he's hitting 330 with 50 homers. Like, come on.
His average has been the most impressive part to me, judges.
Like, I think
been the most
consistency
impressive part.
Matters.
He hit singles sometimes that just go over the
fence. There was a stretch of like a month plus where Cal hit .160. Still hitting the ball at the ballpark, but he hit like .160. So I think these are all things you have to factor in.
No, that's a very good point. Russ Dorsey joins us for another segment here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Russ doesn't just talk about baseball. We want to get Russ's Bears thoughts, too. And especially since we had a little bit of breaking Bears news earlier, so we will give you that information if you missed it as well. That's all next on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheem Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're here with Russ Dorsey in the house. Hello. The Major League Baseball Insider, works for Apple TV Plus as well, here in Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And let's reset some of the big Bears news of the day.
What you got?
How about this? For the third week in a row, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week involves a Bears game. This time it's the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, after his 298-yard, 4-touchdown performance against the Cowboys, is the NFC's Offensive Player of the Week. That is a first-time honor for him.
Reversal of fortune, reversal of fate. How many sacks did he take in that game?
Zero.
How many times did he turn the ball over?
Zero.
How many pre-snap procedural penalties did they have in that game?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Love that.
Like that. Take that with you to Vegas.
That's great.
Put some money on it.
Against that's what your you former see. Head coach, too.
That's what you want to see. I was watching that game on Sunday, and I'm like, all right, man.
Look at you fully vested.
Show me. I had an afternoon free, you know, so as I do on Sundays when I'm in town, I turn the beloved on. I wasn't going to be mad if they lost, but it's the way that you would lose that would make me mad.
Because you saw what happened the week before.
Correct. And so for them to come out the way they did, the play calling by Ben Johnson is creative. It played to their strengths. They moved the chains. They got a lot of people involved. DJ was involved. Rome was involved. We finally got to see Luther Burden get involved in the offense in a big way. That's what you want to see. That's the progression where it's like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Because I watched the Lions on Monday night, and I saw how their offense worked when it's on all cylinders. Like, they were dialing up some, I can't say the word,
on
but
the
they
road.
Were dialing up. Yeah.
On the road.
The double toss on the goal line for the touchdown. Like, so that's what I'm hoping this turns into eventually, where it's like, now we could just throw some wild stuff at you that you just like, just leave people in awe.
Well, that flea flicker was an example of that. When you saw that play happen,
when I saw the ball go in the air, I said, Caleb is about to get his head knocked off right now. Because you have to wait for the ball to come down.
It was floating, right?
Yes, you have to wait the ball to come down for 2 seconds. But beautiful pass by Caleb. Might be the nicest deep ball we've seen since Jay.
Yeah, oh. I mean, like, think about it. You weren't going to see it out of Trubisky.
Like, Jay Cutler,
we saw a couple out of Justin
Jay Cutler
Fields,
was
but they
frustrating
just didn't
for
land.
A million reasons. But he had maybe the most beautiful deep ball we've seen in the city ever. And that's what you saw out of Caleb, where It allowed Luther Burden to just run right underneath it, make the play, walk into the end zone.
Justin Fields had a couple of nice deep balls. He just wasn't allowed to throw very often.
That's unfortunate.
Not like that, he wasn't. You know that.
No, but it's nice to see that stuff work for you.
Even Mitch Trubisky threw one ball that I thought in the playoff game against the Saints would have been caught by Javon Wims. But you're right. Sure. The fact that we can name like four or five of these off the top of our heads is kind of the idea. Right.
So, yeah, I love the offensive play calling.
Okay. I want you to come on to this bandwagon, which is still open. Okay. I think the bye week is going to be the cutoff, guys. Okay. Ray, Robbie. Everyone at the beginning of the season said they had more confidence in the Bears' defense than the Bears' offense. And I said, that's not where we should be. We should all have more confidence in the Bears' offense than the Bears' defense. Are you with me, Russ?
Yes, because I think the thing that's going to come back and bite the Bears, as well as they play defensively on Sunday, I just don't know if they're going to get a consistent enough pass rush to keep their DBs out of trouble.
You sound like me, reincarnated in the studio, because that's exactly what I mean, I've been saying that for years, but pass rush.
Well, it's also the run defense, too. Yeah. You know, this Ash and Gentry, as we mentioned in a couple segments ago, only has 144 yards rushing through three games, but the problem is the Bears' run defense right now currently ranked 26th. Frank in Oak Park called it squishy.
I think that's a good description.
Yeah, that was one of Frank's finer points.
Shout out to Frank. They're going to have to probably outscore teams to win this season, which the Bears haven't had to do in a long time here. So I don't know if you're always going to be successful in that endeavor either. So I'm agreeing with you. I do think you're going to have to lean on the offense. And that doesn't always mean points. Sometimes that's going to mean, like they showed on Sunday, time of possession.
Just take the ball and hold on to it.
12 play drives, 15 play, 19 play drives that we saw in that game on Sunday. That's going to have to be their defense sometimes.
What will you do, all of you, what will you do if they come up with a 20 play drive at some point this season? Yeah, it's not that. It's not.
We're not. Yo, that's Robbie. That will be me in my house, butt naked, cheering for the Bears because they just had a 20-play drive that ends in a touchdown.
That's actually a decent question to everybody. Like, do the Bears this weekend make you so happy that some article of clothing off your body came off?
You know what a 20-play drive means? That means you have control of the game to the point where it's like, we just going to milk this clock. And you will not get any more possessions.
No possessions for you. I think I say it because it's not a stretch. They did 19
against the Cowboys defense. I mean, that's the hard part. Like, I'm not trying to take away the shine. They took advantage of the opportunity that they were given. And that, if you do that in the NFL, you will make the playoffs.
But Layla, we know they're not a finished product. My thing is, I think the offense has several more levels they can go.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing that, that's why I've said it since day one. Ben Johnson, I don't know if he can head coach, but I know he can play call. And I think that's what I'm leaning on this whole way, because I know Caleb has a certain level of talent. Ben Johnson has a certain amount of moxie and obviously knowledge and creativity. Combine the two together. It might take a while for them to get on the same page. But once they are, why can't we get what we saw in Detroit? Why can't we get, I guess, what we're still seeing in Detroit?
Well, I don't think you're going to get triple option because they don't have the running back room for it.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, just
it'll
to,
be like,
you went to college in Oklahoma, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I love me some triple option.
Triple option is some Nebraska, Oklahoma run the ball stuff.
Big 12 stuff.
Big 8 stuff.
Oh, that's, you're taking it back? Southwestern stuff. Conference stuff?
Not really, more Big 8. Yeah.
Yeah, I was born. It was the Big 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm just saying.
I get it.
The Big 10 had 12 teams when I was a kid. Now it has like 18 teams.
So you never lived in a Big 10 10-team world?
No.
What?
No.
That makes us old. That's it.
We're done. That is actually, it may be college conferences. The college conferences you remember is how old you are. And since, like, I remember the Southwest Conference, I'm 90 years old.
I remember when the Pac-12 did have 12 teams, and now they only have, like, what, 7 or 8?
I missed the Conference USA red, white, and blue divisions. That was my favorite iteration.
If the Big West is a term to you, it might be time to get blood work done.
That's fair. Big East used to have football. That's more recent.
Really quick before we go.
Yeah.
The Bears schedule, like, if you include their bye week, it's not like they don't have like world beaters on it. They have
what?
Well, Joe Burrow's not there anymore.
They have the Commanders, depending on how they play. The Saints, woof. Then you have the Ravens, the Bengals with no Joe Burrow, and their offense hasn't looked great. The Giants, the Vikings, and the Steelers.
So are you making a prediction here?
Vikings, I'm just saying they're winnable
games.
Did
you see what the Vikings did?
Guys, I said a lot more teams. There are winnable games in this next 7 weeks. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fair. We can examine that with you.
If you don't beat the Saints, we need to have some conversations. That team got boat raced in Seattle.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm into that for sure. We will revisit that with Russ. In the meantime, hopefully we're talking some playoff baseball here next weekend and next week. That would be great.
Will you be available to talk to us? Because you know how you are sometimes. You know, like the last 2 months.
Jet setting.
You mean when I've been hitting Ray like, yo, when you need me? That we don't.
That's not what happened.
I will show you the text messages. I'm like,
it was not worded in that way.
Wait a second.
Where will you be? Like, do you know? Do you have an idea of where you
will
be?
I will be in Chicago if the Cubs hold on to home field advantage in the wild card round next week. Then I will be in Milwaukee for the DS.
Do it for Russ.
So we'll think about it.
See, that's a better response than Ray. Ray just said straight up, we have Bears guest dog. No, you can't come on.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what he said.
Next time, hit me up.
Dump him.
We got Grody on every day. No, you can't come on. Too many mics.
Is this where I tell you we have Danny Parkins on next?
My man. Shout out to Danny.
Danny's on next. I'm Raheemy Harrison Grody. Thanks, Russ Dorsey.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Russ.
Shout out to the fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.